It's bright and early on WGN, Steve Dale's Pet World. Susan Burrows from Rainbow Animal Assisted Therapy, based in Chicago, is the program coordinator, is on the board of directors, and you are back up and running, I understand, Susan.
Yes, we are. This past year, Rainbow, like other pet therapy organizations, had to develop creative ways to provide pet therapy in a virtual environment. And this past year, we provided virtual programs to many of our program partners, such as hospitals, schools, libraries, and mental health centers. But we also devised ways to what are the benefits of doing virtual pet therapy. And we anticipate, as we move to continue to provide in-person interactions slowly coming back, that we will go on with virtual programs in many different areas.
All right. So for people who don't know what pet therapy is, human-animal interactions are, animal-assisted intervention, animal-assisted therapy, it has lots of different names. What are we talking about?
Well, there are two types of animal therapy. One is animal-assisted activities or visitation, which promotes a general feeling of well-being, reduces isolation and anxiety, provides recreation, and offers unconditional affection. Interactions with the therapy dog are low-key and usually involve such activities as petting and brushing. Visits of this type might be conducted in nursing and funeral homes, adult daycare, and hospitals. Usually, these therapy dogs do not need to have any specialized training beyond their therapy training. On its most basic level, contact with the therapy dog can affect the physiological and psychological stress levels of the participants. It lowers blood pressure, slows individual heart rate, and reduces the amount of stress hormones, and all dog therapy interactions contain elements of visitation. The other type of therapy encounter, which Rainbow focuses on, is animal-assisted therapy, which is the utilization of animals to facilitate healing and rehabilitation in a therapeutic setting. It's a goal-directed intervention in which the animal is an integral part of the treatment process. So in animal-assisted therapy, the dog plays an important part in someone's physical, social, emotional therapy activities. The therapy dog's skills are used to meet the needs of the participant, and they utilize the mutually nurturing relationship between people and animals. These dogs require special training and work usually intensely with one person at a time or in small groups. So we might go to a hospital or a school where we might be doing comfort work, but we also might be working with kids on cognitive issues or in mental health situations or in rehab with people learning to redevelop their motor skills or whatever. So it's a little bit more intensive training for the dog.
Yeah, so let's talk specifically about what some examples are of what you're talking about. So perhaps someone who had a stroke, the medical professionals may say, you enjoy dogs? Well, take the tennis ball or whatever ball it is and toss it, squeaky toy might be a better example, in that direction. Or another example might be a young child who's having difficulty, for whatever the reason, using his or her left arm, and the direction may be pet the dog, which doesn't sound like therapy, but it certainly can be therapy. Are these two real-life examples among thousands you could give?
Oh, absolutely. And we have found not just children but adults, people, but particularly children, will work for a dog when they won't work for anyone else. I've seen kids walk in school settings and hospital settings who wouldn't walk for the therapist, but they'll walk for a dog. I've seen people, kids with autism who have verbalization and socialization issues talk to a dog, look at a dog when they won't speak to humans. So, yes, those are very good examples of how we use dogs. And the for a lot of people, they think the dogs are doing tricks. And like you say, petting a dog, walking a dog, having a dog jump through a hoop, doing a puzzle with a dog, those seem to be pleasant, fun interactions, and they are. But they also might accomplish a goal. Like you say, a person who needs to speak, somebody who's having difficulty walking a dog, those are accomplishing goals, whether they're emotional, physical, or cognitive goals. So they seem to be activities that are pleasant and fun to do, and they are, but they're also, under the guidance of the facilities in which we work, we are employing the dog to help the people in their quality of life.
Now, choosing the right dog to do this is important because the right dog actually benefits, as it turns out. We have science, lots of science, to show, first of all, backing up a step, that what you and I are talking about really works. And anyone who has done, and I have, as you know, animal-assisted intervention, animal-assisted therapy, animal-assisted activities, whatever you want to call it, anyone who's done it has seen the benefits. But never mind the anecdotal evidence. There is now science after science after science from all over the world, studies that have demonstrated the difference these dogs really do make for the clients, the patients, the people involved, whether they be, as you point out, adults or children. It's not only children by any means, and it's not only senior citizens, incidentally, who benefit from all of this as well. People in assisted living facilities, people in nursing homes, etc. But it turns out, Susan, the dogs can benefit too if it's the right dog.
Oh, yeah, and you're correct. Research studies offer scientific support that to the premise that dogs can help people in ways that no one else can. And and it does take the right dog. Any dog can be, any breed, any size can be a therapy dog. But the key to the dog's ability to be a successful therapy dog is its temperament. It must be friendly, gentle, and responsive to its owner as well as other people. The dog needs to be willing to learn new things and be comfortable in all sorts of situations. A therapy dog must be well-behaved, it must enjoy human contact, and it needs to be content to be petted and handled. In other words, they must be people-proof.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, because of the pandemic, I happen to know that you are looking again to add more therapy dogs. What does it take to become a rainbow-assisted, animal-assisted therapy dog? We will find out how you can participate, perhaps with your dog, and make a difference for so many lives. It's a great thing to do. We'll learn more about it when we come back on WGN. Susan Burrows is back with us. She has been on the board of directors for Rainbow Animal Assisted Therapy for a long time. This, I believe, Rainbow is, I think, the oldest group of its type in Chicago?
Yes, it is. It's the largest and oldest pet therapy organization in the Chicago metropolitan area. We started in 1987.
How many organizations, I'm talking about schools, hospitals, nursing homes perhaps, at rehabilitation centers, et cetera, do you work with?
Pre-COVID, Rainbow was doing in-person 250 visits a month. We have program partners in close to two dozen hospitals in the Chicago area. We visit schools in nearly 30, 40 classrooms. We're an official partner of Cole Children's Museum. We're there twice a month. We don't do a lot of senior centers. We do a couple in the Chicago area. We do visit residential communities for people with disabilities, such as Misericordia and Markland. Mm-hmm. And we work with a variety of special organizations that have, through park districts or school districts, that work with people with disabilities. amongst other things. We are a very busy organization.
and you said Chicago area, so this isn't only in the city. It's in the suburbs, too. And Misericordia, by the way, which you mentioned, is an amazing place. But all of the work that all of your people and dogs do is incredible. But not every dog can do this type of work, correct?
Correct. Correct.
So what does it take? What does it take to be a rainbow dog? Now, let me back up again one step. I happen to know, because you told me off the air, that you're seeking dogs because of the pandemic. It turns out that some people said, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore. My dog's getting older. Maybe I'm getting older. And you lost some wonderful volunteers, and you're looking to replace them, and perhaps more, because the demand, interestingly enough, happens to be, it's this pent-up demand that's happening for everything from bananas, I believe, to restaurants, wow, where there's lines outside restaurants, which is wonderful. And it's wonderful for you, except you need dogs and people to do the work.
Oh, yeah. Even before the pandemic, the use of therapy dogs has spread and become optimal practices in many different kinds of facilities, not just where people might think schools and hospitals. Dentists, we had a call from a dental organization that wanted dogs in the dental facility for children who were deathly afraid of dental work. A lot of schools are putting in therapy dogs to be there all day. Dogs in courts working with people who have to testify, particularly children. I mean, the demand and recognition about the effectiveness of therapy dogs in different situations has grown. And now that things are starting to open up, and we actually have increased partners with places we hadn't gone to before the epidemic.
Yeah, that's,
and
to me,
virtually,
that's...
We were in a couple new places that we had never, who had been on our waiting list for a couple of years. So, and dogs, we all love our dogs, but they are a finite life expectancy. So dogs who work therapy dogs, let's say they start at age one, they're in their golden years at 6, 7, 8, depending on the breed. And so our handlers have a longer life expectancy than the dogs do. So this year, unfortunately, a lot of our dogs were senior dogs, and as you say, it was time for them to retire, or unfortunately, they passed away. So we lost about 25% of our team.
Wow!
And we always, all the time welcome new members and recruit new teams always.
So in general, what type of dog has the right chops? What you mentioned earlier, the breed doesn't matter, the size doesn't matter. You mentioned a little bit about what does matter, and then how do you go about actually getting your dog into one of these programs? It's not as simple, although you start by making the call or going online, but it's not as simple as saying, I volunteer to do this, I'll be fine.
No, that's correct. The dog and the handler, what we call our therapy teams, need to be trained together. Because they're going, no matter what their background is, they're going into different situations. And for Rainbow, where our programs specifically, for the most part, focus on children, they focus on people with special needs, and patients in hospitals, we're dealing with at-risk populations. And so we're very careful of the training the dogs come into. The dogs must take our introduction to animal assisted therapy class, dog and handler, which is a 6-hour, 4-session class, and they learn how to. We watch their handling. The dog comes in. We expect the dog to have good behaviors. So this is not an obedience training class. We expect the dogs to come in to be able to listen to their handlers, to walk politely by their side, to sit when told. But we do go over that again. We go through medical equipment, exposure to medical equipment, because the dogs might meet someone in a wheelchair or someone in a walker or with a cane. We teach them activities that they can use in programs. We also talk about the different kinds of population Rainbow works with, and how to approach with your dog. At the end of those classes, they must complete the Rainbow Registry test, which includes the American Kennel Club's canine good citizenship test, as well as a number of other specific items, such as positioning next to a wheelchair or whatever, that dogs may need to use in a therapy situation. Once someone decides they want to finish that class and join Rainbow, and in order for a dog to be a therapy dog, no matter what classes they take, they must be registered with a pet therapy organization in order to be certified. So they will join Rainbow if they wish and follow our other membership requirements, which include working with experienced members who will mentor the new team in programs. They're working from the get-go in programs. If they want to work in a hospital program, for instance, they will also take a medical training class, a two-part medical training class that Rainbow offers their teams, our teams, at no charge. Part of that training takes place within a hospital. And if they are interested in, for instance, our crisis response teams that go out and work with first responders or people who are suffering trauma or who have survived a disaster, then they also have special training such as emotional first aid and et cetera.
Well, what you do is thorough, it's professional, and it is top of the line, you know, and an example of what organizations around the country look at Rainbow, because Rainbow, I was just talking to David Fry about this, actually. David Fry, you may know, he's the broadcaster for the National Dog Show presented by Purina, as well as just about every other dog show on TV. And in fact, he was a co-founder of a similar organization. And way back when, he looked at Rainbow to see, this is how you do it. Now, for further information, where do people go if you want... If you want your dog, you probably have questions, but if you say, okay, my dog is ready to do this, is there a phone number? Is there a website?
You can go on our website, which is Rainbow AAT, Rainbow for Animal Assisted Therapy, rainbowaat.org, and that will give you a little preview of what Rainbow does, as well as information about our classes. We'll have summer classes throughout the summer, offering daytime, evening, or weekend classes. You can call Rainbow's phone number, 773-283-1129, or you can email Rainbow at rainbowaat@gmail.com.
Perfect. Susan, congratulations on all the amazing work you do, and mostly the volunteers, those with two legs and four. It's quite incredible. And what you've done to pivot during the pandemic but is great in itself. But now you're back. Congratulations. Thank you for joining us. This is the coolest thing. You've got to go to my website, stevedale.tv, to see what I'm talking about. So it lives in Australia. It's several inches long, but the head looks like a voodoo doll. It does, with giant teeth and two big black circles that resemble giant eyes. It's scary. That's the point. It's supposed to be scary. This is just a caterpillar. I'm talking about a very rare caterpillar that lives in Australia. Once grown, this terrifying Avenger-looking animal transforms into the pink underwing moth. But they are endangered animals. But this thing was just discovered. Can you believe animals are still being discovered? Again, seeing is believing. Go to my website, stevedale.tv. According to a recent study, even children as young as toddlers benefit by growing up with a dog. A study published in the Journal of Pediatric Research shows that toddlers from families with dogs who participated in the study were 30% less likely to have behavior and social problems in comparison to preschoolers from families who didn't share their homes with dogs. Also, toddlers with dogs demonstrated empathy, even at that young age. Quite incredible, but to me, not surprising. It's called pairing up for protection. That means protecting your dog against kennel cough, which most of you do. I mean, veterinarians routinely give that vaccine called Bordetella for a whole umbrella of infectious respiratory diseases. And that's great. but also consider dog flu. You don't want your dog getting dog flu. So pair up for protection. Protect your dog against dog flu as well as kennel cough. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, right here, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN.